in looking at the holiday, the Chag of Rosh Hashanah, there are quite a number of questions that can be asked to try to be able to get to the essence of what the day is about, the mindset of the day, the feeling of the day, to prepare ourselves accordingly. Let's raise a number of questions that will give us the structure of what to look at in Yirtzeh Hashem today. Perhaps the most famous Gemara, source one, is Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, "Imru lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah malchios zichronos v'nshofros." Say before me, right, the psukim that have to do with God's coronation as king, remembrance, and shofros. Gemara goes on, malchios k'deisha tamlichuni alechem. Sovereignty in order to make God our king over us. Zichronos, remembrance, kidei sheyaleh zichronchem lefanai l'tova, that your remembrance should come before me for the good. Ubameh, and how? Through the shofar. And again, as the Sfasemus points out in source 4, what do you mean, ubameh, how? The Gemara says, imru lefanai, say before me. So we have to understand the dynamics of what does a shofar do. If you have imru lefanai, say before me these psukim, so what does ubameh, how? Bameh through shofar. What does the shofar create in terms of the malchios and zichronos? And further, what does it mean that our remembrances shall be brought up for the good? In what way does the shofar enable our remembrance to be brought up for the good? Either we're worthy to be remembered for the good or we're not. In what way does shofar change, perhaps, these dynamics? Those are question number one. Question number two is we know that, and this brought in source too, we know from the Tehillim that we say, from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Shemini Atzeret, of L'David Hashem Ori, and we know that Chazal say, why do we say this? One of the reasons is that Ori, my light, refers to Rosh Hashanah, V'yishi, my salvation to Yom Kippur. Everyone understands that Yom Kippur is a salvation for Klal Yisrael. Days it offers the opportunity to be shed all sin, become reborn in a spiritual sense. But why is Rosh Hashanah referred to as my light? On this day, we're living in fear of our lives, no one knowing how we'll be judged, what will the future hold in store. Even the heavenly angels tremble. Yet we're told the same day is like a beacon of light. What does this mean? Hashem Ori, Hashem is my light. In what way is Hashem my light? And the question we have on this, aside from understanding how is Rosh Hashanah Hashem my light, how does this stem within source number 3, the Kapitel Pei Aleph 81 of Tehillim? Pasuk says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel l'yom chagenu kichok l'Yisrael hu mishpal elokei Yaakov. So how do I understand that we're told to blow the shofar b'kesel l'yom chagenu, on the veiling of the moon of the day of your festival? Rosh Hashanah is known as Bekesa, the time of concealment, the time when the moon isn't seen, which would seem to be a time of darkness. So on the one hand, you're telling me Rosh Hashanah is a time of Ori, of light, but you look outside and you barely see a moon. It's a time of darkness. It's referred to as Bekesa, the time of concealment. Well, which one is it? Is it a time of light or is it a time of darkness? How do we reconcile this? That's the second issue we're going to have to deal with. And the third issue that we'll have to deal with in source 4a is we know that Rav Sadia Gaon gives 10 reasons for the blowing of the shofar. And the fourth reason that he gives is that, the third reason, Inyan Ashlishi Las Kiredu Mamad Har Sinai, to remember the receiving of the Torah, Shenem Arbo Kol Shofar Holech V'Chazak Ma'ot. By the receiving of the Torah, by Mamad Har Sinai, the blowing of the shofar was very loud. And we should take upon ourselves that which they took upon themselves at that time. To be able to do and listen. The question is asked, Rosh Hashanah, what does that have to do with Matan Torah? And we take a look at the Shofros, the third section of the three key of the Musa Shmoneh Esrei, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, the entire introduction, the first three psukim all have to do with Mamad Har Sinai. It's a big motif of the day. What is the connection of receiving of the Torah that it has such a primary focus on Rosh Hashanah when we didn't receive anything? We didn't receive the Torah. The second luchos were given on Yom Kippur. There seems to be no connection. Okay, you'll tell me that the Medrash says that one of the horns of the shofar is going to be, you know, blown in the future, and we're every Rosh Hashanah we're connecting past and future. We still have to understand connecting to the Akedah, which is a major motif. So why is that a major motif? We need to understand a little bit more Mamad Har Sinai. What's it doing here? The Akedah Yitzchak, which is where the ram's horn comes from of the blowing of the shofar of Har Sinai, the other ram's horn of the future. How does this all connect? What's the motif here? And finally, perhaps our last question, which is a question we've discussed before, all of these questions we've touched on at different times, and perhaps the chidushim here, it's the way we present it as a chiddush. What's the mindset when we blow shofar? This question we've asked over and over again. We'll give the same answer, but we'll come from completely different sources, which is the beauty of learning. The time of Tkiyah Shofar, what should we be thinking? So we know one thing. What we should not be thinking is, oh, you know, the Baal Tokeya last year, he was better than the guy blowing this year. Oh, has he practiced this year? These are the things we should not be thinking about. What should we be thinking about at this time? The mitzvah of the day is Tkiyah Shofar, is blowing of the shofar. How can we accomplish this mitzvah in the best way possible? Those are the issues that we're going to try to deal with, again, our overall question, what is the mindset, the motif of Rosh Hashanah to prepare ourselves accordingly? So the Sfas gives us a kivun, gives us a direction to be able to understand what Rosh Hashanah is about. And he comments in source 4 that when the Gemara asks, Ubameh, and how, doesn't it say, Imru Lufanai, say before me the Psukim, Malchus, Achornos, and Shofros, what does it mean, Ubameh, how? So as the Sfas Emes, the Gemara isn't asking how. We know how. We say the Psukim. Uvameh means, how do you get to what the Gemara says, Imru Lufanai? Say in front of me. How do you reach a level of Lufanai? How do you reach a level of before Hashem? That's the question. And therefore the Gemara asks, Ubameh, how do you get to Lufanai? Rak b'shofar. Through the shofar, because we know that the shofar, the Lizikarum Ka'asik Lufamim Dami, that the shofar is likened, as we'll see in a moment, to entering into the Lifnai v'Lifnim, into the Holy of Holies, like the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. In Cain, therefore, Aideh Shofar Nichnasim had Diburim Lufanav Yisparach. Imr Lufanai, how do my words be able to ascend to the highest levels? And that's through Shofar. And we know that Nesach Sfarad indeed blows Shofar during the silent Shemoneh Esrei, which would fit into this idea of the Sfas Emes. How do we allow our words, what enables our words to move forward and close to Hashem? It's a Lufanai, it's a Tkiyah Shofar, which indeed, as we mentioned, some shuls mamish blow during the silent Shemoneh Esrei, not just during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. This idea of the shofar is about entering into the Holy of Holies is really based on what the Mishnah says about Sechar Rosh Hashanah in source number 5, Sichar Eliyahu brings, that we know that the shofar's any animal can be used except for the cow. Why? Because it reminds Hashem kivyachol of the chait ha'egel, and just like the Kohen Gadol doesn't go in with the gold clothes into the Holy of Holies, the shofar is likened to that which enters into the Holy of Holies, and therefore we don't want to have any remembrance whatsoever of the sin of the golden calf. And this very famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say that when we hear the shofar Rosh Hashanah, this mitzvah is as if in our mindset we should imagine that we are entering into the Holy of Holies. Hashamea kol shofar, one who hears the sound of the shofar should imagine that they're entering into the Holy of Holies, standing in front of God. And no tzichas Eliyahu, if you think it's just during the time of Kol Shofar, which again is what we're going to be focusing in on for our lesson today, Mir Tzashem, But understand that it's not just the kol shofar. It's not only the blowing of the shofar that we stand in front of Hashem. We know Parshat Nitzavim, we read before Rosh Hashanah. The Parshat says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Lokechem. You are all standing here today in front of God. Hayom, we know Chazal say, refers to Rosh Hashanah. There are many psukim to support that. Today means that the entire day, and Rosh Hashanah by us is 2 days, the entire 48 hours, we are nitzavim kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokechem. We're standing in front of Hashem. You're right. Ki ha-shofar, the time of the blowing of the shofar, is the intensity where we feel and we're aware, we're cognizant of this standing in front of Hashem. But the truth is and the reality is that every moment of Rosh Hashanah, whether you're in shul or whether you've been blessed to be a mother of little children and you're home playing Lego or Kapla or whatever game you're playing, you are immediately for the Hashem. It is a time where you are standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a time of the closest intimacy that we have the entire year. And if we understand this, my friends, we understand why a major theme that we have in our tefillah is the word emes, the word truth. We speak about ki ata Elokim emes, you God are true. Udvarcha emes, and your word is true. We speak about v'yichom b'chesed kisecha v'teishev alav be'emes, how Hashem sits on His throne in truth. The whole concept of truth that repeats itself over and over again is because when we blow the shofar and we stand in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, we're standing in front of Hashem at a time where we can't lie, where we can't pretend. This is the moment of the naked truth. We are living the core of who we are. And we know that just like when the Kohen Gadol would go into Lifnai v'Lifnim, into the Kodesh Kedashim, he went in b'chashai, he went in alone. He went in secretly, privately, ki'ilu. Likewise, when we go into Rosh Hashanah, we don't go in with our friends, we don't go with our family, we don't go in with our society. We are being judged as who we are, truly us. That we are standing be'emes, shata be'emes, lo ma shata, kishiro'im otcha, shomim otcha, zeu kivnei marom kol echad levado. This is the idea that we are judged kivnei marom, like the sheep passing in front of Hashem. Each and every one of us, we can't hide and say, well, the society around us has done, and therefore we are. Who are you? What do you stand for? The core of what we are all about, that's what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is about. That's what it means to enter into the Holy of Holies. On one level, entering the Holy of Holies means I entered by myself, like the high priest entered in by himself. And when you enter in by yourself, you can't hide behind anybody. You can't make excuses. You can't say, well, you know, you're not somebody's daughter, you're not somebody's mother, you're not somebody's sister. You are you. Who are you all about? And as the Siftei Chaim notes on this, Hadam hu uvnei beito atzluyim b'sekana gdola. Just like the Kohen Gadol walked in with trepidation, was he going to come out alive, right? They tied a string to him to pull him out if he didn't make it out alive. We're walking to the Kodesh Kedoshim. We are walking under the scrutiny, which we'll talk more about today, Mirta Hashem, of God judging us. You understand the trepidation, the fear that should be accompanying us as we walk into Rosh Hashanah? We are walking into the most holy of places, the most intimate of places, the place of your standing mamish lifnei Hashem. What is your behavior like on Rosh Hashanah? Is it one that is a reflection of the enormity and severity of the day? With this in mind, that Rosh Hashanah, the definition of Rosh Hashanah is amida lifnei Hashem, is standing in front of Hashem. It's standing in front of the moment of truth, where all of our excuses just fall by the wayside, and we are meeting up with core self. We can then appreciate in Source 8, where every Jew is born with a mission to fulfill his task, to perform as many mitzvot as possible, and to bring honor to Hashem at every opportunity. All other activities, physical and material, are secondary important. And if we live with this perspective, we'll merit olam haba, the pleasure of the everlasting life. It's simple. Hashem, however, has created the Satan, whose duty it is to try to make a Jew forget his true purpose in the world and lose sight of the correct priorities. Instead of concentrating on spiritual achievement, the Satan persuades him to focus on material gains and to aim for wealth, luxury, and physical indulgence. These temporal pleasures are presented as being credible pursuits. This picture, however, is an illusion. Olam Hazeh, this world, may seem real and worthwhile, but in fact, everything it affects is deceptive. It offers is deceptive. The true value of life does not consist of earthly assets. On the contrary, our sages write, those who chase after them will never be happy, and they remove man from the world. They may appear to be profitable, but in truth, it's a fantasy fabricated by the Satan. We know the story told of an ignorant villager who heard that in the big city there's something called a cinema, where he could see all sorts of spectacular events take place. He therefore saved up his money to buy a ticket, was ushered into a dark room with a big screen upon which he could view cars in motion, huge building mountains. He was positively entranced. But one thing disturbed him greatly. The room was so dark. Impulsively, he stood up, switched on the nearest light, and wonders of wonder, the whole picture faded away. Everyone present shouted at him, "Fool, put out the light! Don't you know the whole spectacle only appears when it's dark? The light makes everything vanish?" That says Reb Chassman, Chevron Rosh Yeshiva, is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is that Ori, is that light that causes the imagery of the Satan to disappear. Throughout the year, we live in darkness, caught up in illusory existence, chasing after things that seem good and beneficial. But when the day of judgment comes, when every Jew stops to contemplate his lifestyle and becomes introspective, he begins to see things differently. And then the true light comes on, and we see that all those things we've been running after, all those things that have been such a priority for us, is a fantasy. What is Hashem Ori about? It's the light of truth. It's the light of understanding. It's the light of clarity. It's the light of connecting us to our core. As Rav Bernstein points out in Tshuva, throughout the year, our egos have believed that we are the center of the universe. And he speaks about Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, that there are really two different ways we behave. One, when we're at home, you know, we're leisurely and we act, you know, we call, you know, wherever you can get away with at home. And then when you're at somebody's house and you're a guest, that which is done at home isn't appropriate, like to put your feet up on the couch and, you know, eat directly from the bowl without any accoutrements in between. You know, these things are not acceptable. Throughout the year, our egos have us believe that we are the center of the universe, that we own the house. Many of our negative actions are simply the natural product of this vision. Even some of our mitzvahs may have the quality of hosting Hashem as our guest, so to speak. Rosh Hashanah that sets its goal, the reparation and restoration of our vision. The Machzor guides us through a two-day journey of liberation from our self-centered vision of the world. We focus on the theme of Malchiel's kingship, reminding ourselves who world it really is. We express our hopes for the way the world should really look. And that is what Tshuva's about, turning on the light. With the light of Rosh Hashanah, we're able to see what life is really about. That we are in the home of Hashem. That this world, Malchios, making Hashem king, it doesn't just mean to say, okay, you know, Hashem, you're the king of the world. It's more than that. If it's to recognize that if Hashem is the king of the world, then I am his guest in this world. And if I'm his guest, then I have to follow the protocol of what it means to be a guest. And I have to behave accordingly. When I start doing mitzvahs, well, you know, God, I'll invite you into my home because it's convenient now to do this mitzvah. I've lost my priorities. I've misunderstood what life is about. I am a guest for 120 years that God has graciously allowed me to live in his home. I need to abide by his rules. The light is turned on, and I suddenly realize, you know what? This isn't my home. This isn't the me deciding how my life should live. This is a life that is decided by Hashem when he created me to create a Kiddush Shem Shemayim in this world. And as Rav Dov Yaffe, big Mashkiach, notes in Ma'avdecha Be'emes, he says, This is the idea. The Rosh Hashanah is referred to in the beginning of Zichronos. Zeh hayom tchilat ma'asecha. This is the day, the beginning of your handiwork. Zikaron liyom rishon, the remembrance of the first day. That Rosh Hashanah is about going back to when man was created. It's going back to the vision of the way Hashem envisioned the way man would be. And therefore, me'ir or miyuchad shemesayei el adam lafoch lebriyah chadashah. You know, just like on your birthday, you feel like a renewal. Like, wow, this year's going to be different. I turned a new year, turning a new leaf. Rosh Hashanah is our universal birthday. And we too feel like, wow, it's a new year, it's a new light, it's a new time. Therefore, there is an or miyuchad hameir b'Rosh Hashanah. There's a light, there's an energy on Rosh Hashanah to enable us to extricate ourselves from those things that we got caught up with in the past year and be able to move forward this year. So when we talk about Hashem Ori, Hashem is my light, it's not just that there's a light of clarity, it's deeper than that. There's a light, there's an energy that all of our neshamas can feel on Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem is enabling us to be able to start afresh. That is our core. Our essence is to serve Hashem, to make Hashem king. We just have to realize that we get caught up along the way. Rosh Hashanah is coming back, connecting to our core, connecting to our essence. And again, as Rabbi Bernstein points out in Tshuva, throughout the year, we face various situations, trials that may cause us to forget our true purpose in life. And because of these, our demands and temptations of the world, we lose focus on our goal. Rosh Hashanah is when Hashem allots life for the new year. It's a time of Yom HaZikaron, a day of remembrance. It's a time for us to remember of what has happened over the year and where we are holding. During the year, we sometimes sink into a slumber and forget. As it's written, I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Our true longing to make ourselves subservient to Hashem is always there inside of us. It's our innermost desire, but sometimes we've fallen asleep. You know what happens in Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is a time to wake up. Ur yesheni mishnatchem. That's what the Rambam describes what Shofar is about. But you know what? Rabbi Bernstein takes this one step further. He says, you know what happens when people are asleep? They dream, which means that not only are they removed from the reality around them, they have replaced it with an alternate inner reality. And all of us know that when you dream, it's like it's real. It's really happening, right? Sometimes people get up and they scream from their dream and they come out shaking. It's like it's there. There's no more true depiction of one who has lost sight of real goals and higher reality than that of one who is sleeping, quote-unquote, through life. In fact, he has perfected the art of sleeping while he's fully awake. He goes through life oblivious to the reality around him. His life course is dictated by virtual reality analogous to a dream, where he is all-important, all-powerful. His selfish goals are where is his ultimate significance. Most of his mistakes are thus not simply bad deeds, but the product of what is essentially sleepwalking through life. The solution, therefore, is not to do things better, but to wake up. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. That's the idea of Hashem Ori. And this explains the pasuk that we say right after Tekiyah Shofar, most beautiful pesukim on Rosh Hashanah. Ashrei Ha'am in 14, Yod'ei Teruah. Praised, happy is the nation who knows the Teruah. Hashem, Be'or Panecha Yalechum, Hashem, in the light of your countenance they will walk. Again, that concept of light. The Shem Shmuel knows that knowing the Teruah doesn't mean that you know how to blow the Teruah. It means you know how to reflect on what the meaning of the light is about. You know how to take this day and the light and the energy and the insight that we get from this day, and you're able to utilize it for the entire year. And that, my friends, is symbolically what the Shofar is about. We know that in that original day of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem formed man of dust from the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a breath, a soul of life. Ever since creation, every breath that man takes is a direct continuation of that first breath that Hashem blew into him. This act of blowing connects body and soul and infuses man with a living spirit. At the coronation of a king, we blow horns and trumpets to demonstrate we are using our very breath of life for his honor. Blowing a shofar demonstrates we are dedicating our entire lives for the king. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem infuses us with a new life for another year. We blow the shofar, and what are we thinking? You imbue us with the soul of life. We are using our breath, the soul you give us, to blow it back to you. We will use our breath, the life that you gave us, in order to serve you. We live only for you and your honor. That is the goal of Rosh Hashanah. That is the understanding of Rosh Hashanah. I am here, Hashem, to be mamlich you, to make you king. You know, they tell the Maisa of Rabbi Leib Batz, Rosh Yeshiva, very chashuv, Adam Gadol, Talmid Chacham in Detroit, who was in Shanghai in the Mir Yeshiva when they were in, you know, during that period of time of the Holocaust. And Rabbi Bax had an emergency appendicitis, and he was in a very, very serious state. And in the hospital, he had a dream. And in his dream, he sees a tribunal sitting there deciding whether they should give him life or not. He recognizes one of the three judges, the three rabbis, was his rabbi, Rabbi Rucham of Mir. And the other two rabbis said, since he is your Talmid, you can ask him a question. And if he passes the question, then he'll be granted life. So in his dream, Rabbi, talking about dreams, Rabbi Bax had this dream, and Rabbi Yerucham in his dream says to Rabbi Bax, tell me, what is the difference why the angels only have one mission while the Jewish people have many missions? To which Rabbi Bax answers in his dream, that's really not true. The angels have one mission, and we have one mission. Our one mission, just like the angels, is to be mamlech Hashem, is to create a kavod shem shamayim, is to create a glory of God in this world. It is manifested in our lives in many different ways, but it's only one mission. We may be doing many different things, but our goal is the same goal, bringing kavod shamayim, glory of God, into this world. They were satisfied with this answer. They gave him back life. Such a person is deserving to live. Rabosai, those are the type of dreams we should have, first of all. Good. That is the model that we need to understand. This is the message of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is one message. We get lost in life. We're sleepwalking in life. Our priorities are messed up in life. Whether it's on the grand scale that we're running after business deal, that we cheat and we do things that are inappropriate, and we are going against the Feirish laws in the Torah. Whether it's in the small areas of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, what are our priorities? So to take a simple example, albeit no example is simple, a woman finds a beautiful glass honey jar to put on the Rosh Hashanah table. She falls in love with it. Crystal. It's absolutely stunning. It's gorgeous. She fills it up with honey, and one of her little kids says, you know, a kid who could be able to handle bringing it to the table, I want to bring it to the table. You'll be careful, I'll be careful. Yeah, she's, you know, looking forward to seeing this on the table. This is her gift of Rosh Hashanah to the table. The kid very carefully takes it, and there's a little toy on the floor the kid doesn't see. Pshoom! Kid goes flying, crystal goes flying, glass goes flying, honey goes flying. Night of Rosh Hashanah. So what's our reaction, my friends? If our reaction is screaming, oh my gosh, I told you, you can't trust you with anything, and look what you did, and what a mess you made, and now I don't have this honey dish. We've blown it, my friends. Is the kavod, is the honor of our child less important than a honey dish? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. Instead, we say, oh honey, things happen, accidents happen, don't worry, it's a kapara. I'm so happy you're okay. Don't worry about it. Let's not even think twice about it. Let's just clean it up. That's creating a kavod shem shamayim. That's creating godliness in this world. That's allowing the neshama, the spiritual part of us, the godly part of us to come forward. And that's the struggle we live in. And that's the challenges we live in. To be able to have that clarity is so difficult. Hashem be'or panecha ye'elechu, it's like a tefillah. Hashem, when I blow the shofar and I'm standing lifnai v'lifnim, and I I have. Hashem Ori, Hashem is my light. And Be'or Panecha Ya'alechu, and it's so clear to me on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, it's easier to live those 48 hours in the perfected way. But Hashem, what's going to be afterwards? Help me be able to have that perspective the entirety of my life, that I'm able to see that clarity, that I'm not going to get lost, that I'm able to see what's a charade, what's a fantasy, and what the core of life is really about. And with this, we can understand, my friends, on the first level of the two, what Zichronos are about. What do you mean God remembers? So Rabbi Bernstein brings down in Source 16, one of the 10 psukim of the Zichronos doesn't seem to belong. It doesn't really talk about Hashem remembering as much as us remembering. The pasuk says, Zecher asal nifliotav chanun v'rachum Hashem. He has made a remembrance for his wonder. Compassionate and merciful is Hashem. Now, obviously, as Hashem Yishmael notes, for the most part, the verses refer to Hashem remembering us, and this is indeed acceptable and helpful for us in order to present ourselves accordingly. However, we have to realize that obviously Hashem doesn't remember. It's an emotion that we are putting to God. Similarly, when we speak of Hashem remembering us for good, 17, we refer to Him coming to bestow goodness upon us. Remembering means to bring a shefa, to bring goodness. Something that for us would be preceded by an act of remembering. Oh, I remember it's your birthday, let me give you a gift. So we put in remembering before giving gifts and bestowing or giving out or apportioning. What determines, therefore, what will cause Hashem, quote speak, to remember us? The answer is to the extent which we remember Him and act in a way that is deserving of such blessing. This is the message of the one verse in the Zichronos section and the asterisk in 17 that breaks ranks with the others and explicitly talks about us remembering Hashem. It's a reminder that the key to success in this area of the day lies not with our reminding Hashem about us, but with reminding ourselves about Him. This is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Yes, Zichronos is very much about Hashem remembering us. But the only way Hashem can remember us, and that we can be remembered for the good, i.e. again, that Hashem will give us good things and bestow upon us a good year, is first and foremost if we remember Him. This idea of remembering Him, this idea of connecting to Him, this idea of seeing clarity is exactly, notes the Moda Labina, Rav Rotberg in 18, what Kol Shofar is about. V'zeu shekol shofar b'kocho lachria yehidias ha'adam et atzmo. The shofar enables a person to look inside oneself. And this is why there is a major theme, one of our original questions of Har Sinai. The prototype, the paradigm of where a shofar is about remembering ourselves, getting to know ourselves, was Mamash Shemam at Har Sinai. Pasuk says, v'chol am ro'im es ha'kolos. One of the psukim we say by the shofaros and the tem psukim, and all the nation saw the sound and the kol shofar. Nitbar de bebehirus kabbalas atar roshlemus kabbalata kol shofar yagoreim merkazibaseh. What enabled us to have the clarity of vision at Mamet Har Sinai was the kol shofar. The zel mikol shofar shvakadel adamai de kolohis omerus lidabek b'torah v'kabbalata. The shofar is an awakening to hold on to Torah and what it's all about. And this, my friends, is Ein Kabbalah Satorah Chitzonid El Pnimi Shibi Pnimisu. Kabbalah Satorah, and why Kabbalah Satorah is such a major theme of Rosh Hashanah? Because Kabbalah Satorah is about the inner acceptance in the deepest part of ourselves. It was the level that we reached, Migila Sod Zelavanai, who revealed the secret to my children, the Malachim wanted to know. Like, this is the secret Hashem wanted to know, this is the secret of the Malachim, of the angels. The Kol Shofar enables us to get to the core. The Kol Shofar, the shofar of Har Sinai, was the shofar where we're able to say Nasa V'Nishma. We're ready to do unconditionally what you want, God. The Kol Shofar brought us to that level of recognition and realization that Hashem runs the world. That is the mindset we have to think about when we say these psukim of shofros about Mamet Har Sinai. When we hear the shofar, we need to bring ourselves back, pause for a few moments when you're saying these psukim in the Machzor and go back and imagine Mamet Har Sinai, all of our souls were there. It's in you, in all of us, to be able to go back to Mamet Har Sinai and to feel, to hear that shofar sound, to be roim et hakolos, to be able to see it. Seeing is, right? Seeing is believing. It's being able, ayin to ayin, you saw such clarity that Hashem exists. Ah, bring that reality back here as well. That there is no other reality but Hashem. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, L'olam Ve'ed. Hashem was, Hashem is, Hashem will be. That's what we have to remind ourselves. The shofar, the psukim Mamet Har Sinai, the pasuk of Zichronos, these are all ways that Chazal have given us in the Machzor to be able to, and we have to utilize the Machzor, not just, oh, another page, but to utilize it to be able to come closer to Hashem, and to utilize the psukim to help us bring us to this reality. My daughter was telling me that one of her teachers had a yahrzeit for her father. One of the things that she mentioned I found so profound, simple, but there's sometimes the profundity is found in simplicity, is that her father, anytime he had a sitter or a machzor, would never hold it with the next page up a little bit. Like, I can't wait to turn the page, right? Ugh. You know, it's like, remember as kids, as adults too, we used to count how many pages are left in the machzor, right? When you hold it up like, I can't wait to turn to the next page, you're saying that this page is irrelevant for me. It's like, it's not like a Havdil novel we're reading. I can't wait to get to the next page. Every pasuk in the Machzor, and I know we don't have time, my friends. We all don't have time. But maybe on Shabbos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're not cooking. Open up a Machzor. Open up an art scroll Machzor. Open up any Perush you want. Be able to see the beauty of the Machzor. Be able to see what we're saying. Allow it. Take notes. Be able to connect with the depths of it. There's Sforim on the Machzor. Be able to utilize it as a tool it's meant for. To be able to make this day real for us. The Amida Lifnei HaMelech, the standing before the King. And this is why on Rosh Hashanah, Nosa Sichar Eliyahu 19, Kach Kol Shana V'Shana Rosh Hashanah, Kishiyotzim L'Derech U'Matchilim Shana Chadasha, that when we start every year, a new year, Hashem starts us off almost with the push of Mamet Har Sinai, with the light of Rosh Hashanah and the koach of Mamet Har Sinai. Hashofar Meir Et HaDerech B'Choshech, it enlightens us along the way, that in order that we should be able to use the koach of the shofar, which is the Nekuda, the inner spark, the inner core, that we should be able to connect with it and be able to utilize it. You know, the mashal he gives in Eretz Yisrael, you can really appreciate this mashal. You ever been to one of these buildings that has many floors? And at night, you can press a button and a light will go on, and the light goes on for a certain amount of minutes, and then it goes off. So you press the button and you start walking up and you're, you know, three flights up, and then it goes off and you have to try to find another button. You're groping and then go up another few floors. Says Sichar Eliyahu, using this imagery, he says, let's say the light isn't working in this building and you're on the sixth floor and you have to get down to the first floor. So what do? You keep the light, you keep the door open on the sixth floor, and you have light from that experience, and eventually you're going to have light from downstairs. And the rest of the way, you're groping on the banister. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the light to start us along the way. We have the light of Mashiach. That light is also coming and helping us. And along the way, we have Torah. That's Mamet Har Sinai, the koach of Torah, the koach of Nasa V'Nishma, that helps us as we grope through the darkness, remembering the light, remembering that we have the ability to see at certain points. With this in mind, my friends, we can now understand a gewaldic insight, mamish gewaldic, of the Meir Chelev, or Moshe Schwab from Gateshead. And how do we understand if it's Hashem Ori, such light, such energy, such clarity? How do I understand Bakesel Yom Chagenu is a time of concealment, a time of darkness? Well, which one is it? It seems that Rosh Hashanah is a time of light. Afterwards, we start walking down the steps. So Rav Schwab notes, and this is very, very important. He says in Source 20, Bakesel Yom Chagenu, Kisui Zeh Hiyisod Bemuna. Darkness, concealment, is really a statement and a foundation of Amuna, of belief. Al Adam legalot et haster, we have to reveal the darkness. La'ira tavoda gam b'choshech, and to be able to find light in darkness. Ba'kesa havoda shel kedus Yitzchak. And that's why we have also as one of the major motifs, Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, is a classic bekesa. It's a classic example of concealment. Where Avraham Avinu has been preaching for all of these years about not doing sacrifices of children, and now he's told to sacrifice his child, it makes no sense. And the Satan comes and tells him, Avraham Avinu, what are you doing? And what does Avraham Avinu respond? The Medrash says, V'ani b'tumi elech, I am going to go with my b'tumi, with my t'mimus, with my simplicity. Even if I'm in a time of darkness, I'll lay down like 21. Kidavka botoma koma nereba choshech butala lav lavoda voda shetairta choshech. Specifically, when you're in the times of darkness, when it makes no sense and you don't know why it's happening, and the nisyonos and the challenges are so great, and you feel like this darkness is overwhelming you, as by Avraham Avinu siva shalom that he vayarita makom merachok, he saw the place from afar. Makom represents Hashem. He saw Hashem from afar. He was Bekesa. He was in Choshech. In that time, we have to go through those experiences and challenges and say, Afalpikain, even if I don't understand it, even if it makes no sense, if this is what Hashem wants for me, I'm ready to do it. And that's being able to forge in the darkness to get to the light. Rosh Hashanah is about not only that there's light, but the reality of the world is that oftentimes there's darkness. And the only way to be able to get through that darkness is understanding emunah, faith, that there is light, that there is purpose, that there is a larger picture. Bekesa Leom Chagenu is teaching us the Yesodos Amuna, that light is, that light of Rosh Hashanah needs to be put into and implemented in all aspects of our lives, particularly in that which doesn't make sense. And this is the Smichus of Psukim, he says, of Schwab in 22. We have that Tiku Bachar Shofar Bekesli Yom Chagenu. The next pasuk is Ki Chok Lisrael Hi. It is a chok, a law we don't understand. Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov, a judgment to the God of the Father of Yaakov. The Torah is given us as a chok. That's a law we don't understand. Why? Mishpat is an inyan of Malchus, in order to take upon ourselves Kabbalos Omahut Shemayim, the kingship of God, Lo Hirhur Achar Chukuka, without questioning. Ha'inyan Shalo Laharhir B'Mesiris Nefesh Mamish, be able to give ourselves over completely to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You know what Bekesel Yom Chagenu is about? It defines Rosh Hashanah. When you see Hashem's light, then it's clear. I understand this is what you want from me. But Rosh Hashanah is saying is not only when you have the Ori, even and particularly when you have the Bakesa, when you have the darkness, whether it's the emotional darkness, whether it's the intellectual darkness, where things don't make sense, you're able to say, despite this darkness, Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov, I make God king over me, and I'm ready to do whatever He wants. Emuna pshuta mechayevet lavod gam b'choshech, gam b'makom al shabakesa. This emuna pshuta, this simple faith, enables me to work even in the darkest times, even in the most concealed times. And that, he says, is the power of the shofar. The shofar is, you know, many mitzvahs either were inspired or were not inspired. The shofar doesn't matter whether you're inspired or not. The shofar touches our neshama with an emunah pshuta, lekabel al haguf gam kashadayin kochot haguf shaltim alav, in the asterisk in 25. Even when we don't feel that perhaps, you know, God is king over us, the shofar has that ability like a laser beam to penetrate and to make us realize that there is no other reality except the will of God. The shofar gives us, 26, the power to crown Hashem our king. The shofar emits a straight, even sound, wordless and tuneless. It expresses our raw, unadorned desire to do Hashem's will without any specifications or conditions. We willingly accept upon ourselves whatever Hashem wants of us. And that is what it means, Imru l'fanay malchios kedei shetam lichuni aleichem. Say before me, Malchiel Sukkim of kingship, to make God king. It can't be just lip service. Rosh Hashanah is making sure, and that's why Zichar Eliyahu in 27 says, it's an avodah kasha, it's hard work. Are we really making God kings over every area of our lives? And it gives a mashal in 28 of a servant who says to his master, you know, I'm ready to do whatever you ask me except for one or two things. So these one or two things, right? I don't do the windows. I don't do these one or two things. Has he accepted upon himself the yoke of his master except for those one or two things? No. If you're not ready to do those one or two things, then what you're really saying is, I'm serving myself, not you. And even when I'm serving you, I'm serving me because it's comfortable, not you. Because if I was really serving you, I'd be ready to give myself wholeheartedly. And that, says the Sichar Eliyahu, this is what it means to enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim. It means that I'm ready to do what Hashem wants completely. But to be standing with snively fneem, to stand in front of Hashem's presence, means that I'm ready to give myself over totally to what Hashem wants for me. I understand it, I don't understand it. Hashem has a broader vision than I have. Hashem has a broader plan than I have. And I'm ready to be able to give over the bittul, the humility, the shofar that is bent, our stance on Rosh Hashanah, which is a bent stance, the year that you begin impoverished in that stance of like an ani hamitbakesh al petach, begging Hashem. It's not like I'm in charge. It's not my home. I realize, Hashem, it's your home. You're the balabas. You're the boss. When I'm able to enter into a home like that, then I'm able to stand lifnai v'lifnim. And as the Bamode Levina points out, that just like we have the Ramban points out by the counting, the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar 29, how the people went, each one in front of Moshe and Aaron, and what a schus it was, havara, to be in front of these great leaders, al achas kama v'kama, you know what it's like, to be in front of Hashem mamish? That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Each and every one of us passes in front of Hashem. And as Amelda Labina points out, he says, when we pass in front of Hashem, what this passing is all about is a chippus, it's like b'dikah, it's that light to search within ourselves. Where are our flaws? Where are we hesitant to take God upon us as a king? He says, Chippus betoch primiyut nivchei hanefesh, when you look inside of yourself, am I really ready to accept Hashem as a king? Do I remember him in all aspects of my life? Are all aspects of my life dedicated to Kvod Shem Shemayim? I realize the honor of my child is greater than the honor of the vase, of my physical possession. I realize that money is not the end and beginning of everything. I'm honest. When I realize this is the entirety of my life. He knisas ha'adam lifnai v'lifnim shelo. That is entering into the holy of holies of your soul. Rabosai, that is the first level of what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is standing in front of Hashem, and really it's about standing, really standing in front of ourselves in the mirror, in the core of who we are, and we ask ourselves, am I connected to Hashem? Do I remember Hashem at all times? Am I ready to completely immerse myself in that mikvah of the Kodesh Kodashim? Am I ready to take on everything Hashem wants for me? Do I realize that the world is a fantasy? Am I ready to do God's will on His terms, not on my terms? Do I realize that He is the owner of the house and I'm just a visitor? Am I sleepwalking through life? Do I realize that what life is about is to come back to that clarity of Mamad Har Sinai, of Nasa, of Nishma, of the secret of the angels, of I'm ready to do whatever you want, God, not like the servant who gives the conditions, yes or no, but I'm ready to do what you want. And this, my friends, doesn't only happen when things are easy, but Keselik Om Chagenu, to give oneself over completely to God, that's the goal, even in difficulties. Spark of Majesty, in Endo Krohn, speaks about a beautiful story where she says that in Auschwitz there was some men who were involved in taking out the garbage, emptying out the garbage. That was their job. And once one of the men was by the woman's block, and a 15-year-old girl, very quietly comes over to him and whispers to him, and he hears her say she wants a sweater. It's September time. It was Erev Yontif. It's getting cold. And he felt bad for this girl. Her name was Mindy. So he goes the next few days trying to procure a sweater from, you know, some of the garbages, and he finds one, and he somehow is able to hide it. And the next time he goes to the woman's block, he gets her attention, and he hands her the sweater. And she says to him, no, no, no. I didn't want a sweater. I wanted a sitter, which in Yiddish, sweater and sitter sound so similar. And in the distance between them, he heard sweater. And she says, it's almost Rosh Hashanah. We don't have a sitter in the woman's block. We don't have a machzor. How are we going to have it? I figured you would have the ability to get us a sitter. So he says to her, Mindy, at least take the sweater. It's getting cold. And then I'll get you a sitter. She says, no, 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 I'm not taking the sweater. Because if I take the sweater, you're going to feel you fulfilled your obligation. Take the sweater back. Bring me back a sitter. And he was able to bring her a few pages of the sitter from which they davened from that Rosh Hashanah. That, my friends, is Bekesa Leyom Chagenu of Hashem Ori. That in the darkest times of Auschwitz, you don't want a sweater, you want a sitter. You want to be able to utilize that I'm going to be able to daven in Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to be Mamlech Hashem. I'm going to make Hashem a king even in Auschwitz. That's the beauty of what a Yid is about. That's what Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar is about. That's the ability of taking that breath of life that Hashem has given us, and I blow it back to him. That's the ability of entering into Lifnai V'Lifnim, the innermost part of myself, the center, the core of me, and I ask myself, why am I here? What is it all about? And I need to answer where Rabbi Bach's answered in his dreams. I'm here to serve Klal Shamayim with my children, with my spouse, with my job, with my interactions with my neighbors. It doesn't matter. It's all of the above. I wear one hat, the hat of bringing Hashem's glory into this world to be the best person I can be, to emulate God, period. And on that level, in 31 and 32, the Sichos Yitzchaskut, Rasi Meir Silverberg, speaks about that in our mind, what are we saying during Tkiyas Shofar? And you can read it inside. Abba, Abba, we're screaming out, Hashem, it's so difficult for us to do tshuva. It's so difficult for us to come back to the core of ourselves. Help us. With the Kol Shofar, we're screaming to Hashem in our mind, Hashem, I want to connect with you. I want to be close to you. I want to be in Eved Hashem completely in the Kodesh Kedoshim. My Yetzer Hara is so strong. Help me. We scream to Hashem in 32, Hashem, the world is full of darkness. If we, my friends, look back at the year in the whole world, and particularly in Eretz Yisrael, do you know how many almanos and yisomim, orphans and widows over this last year? We began the year with Rav Henkin and his wife killed in front of his four children. We end the year with Hallel, a 13-year-old girl, being killed in her bedroom. We understand this, a father of 10 killed. How much tragedy. Someone was telling me that in a second grade class in Hebron, there were so many children who had experienced firsthand, whether from a first cousin to a parent to a sibling, how many people died. Hallel's sister was in that class, and people who lost their parents were in that class. In recent years of terrorism, we turn to Hashem and say, we're living in a time of Hester, in a time of darkness. Lighten up the path. Let us see the light of Geula. Let us see the light of redemption. Let us see the light of clarity, because the world is so dark. But nevertheless, v'ani b'tumi elech, like I'm Ravino by the Akedah, the motif of Rosh Hashanah, we ask to remember the Akedah. What does it mean when we say remember the Akedah? It's for us to remember the Akedah too. V'ani b'tumi elech, I, God, am going to walk with you, whether I understand or not. That motto of Avraham Ravino is our motto as well. And when we able to reach this level of Lifnai, V'Lifnim of ourselves, 33, V'Kasher Adam, Choder v'chofes chadrei beten, modelavina says, lifnai v'lifnim. When you're able to enter into the innermost part of yourself, zoche v'nichnas al p'nei Hashem, lifnai v'lifnim, v'az yifkar lifnai Hashem mamish. When you've entered into the Kodesh Kedoshim of yourself, you're then able to enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atmo. And that's the second level, where on the first level is very much focused about me, and we're on that in Rosh Hashanah. In the very brief time that we have Rosh Hashanah, the second part is mamish in Hashem's kingdom. And therefore in 34, the whole idea of Mamad Har Sinai is as if Hashem is taking us back, because Mamad Har Sinai, the 10 Aser HaDibrot, are the actualization of the Asara Mamros, the 10 utterances that created the world, whatever that may mean. And Mamad Har Sinai is as if Hashem took us back to the original creation of the world, and we saw, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be grass, and there was grass. When we go back to recalling Mamad Har Sinai, we're going back to recalling the creation of the world. We're imagining being able to come back to that level of Atah HaReis HaLadat, where we see clearly that there is no other but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what the Har Sinai experience is about, to go back to the original creation of the world, to be able to see the heavens opening up. And with clarity, Hashem is showing us there is nothing but the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when we understand that this is what it's about, we are able to be judged in this state of lifnai v'lifnim, in this state of closeness to Hashem, when we're able to be almost enveloped by God. I've entered into the deepest part of me, and now I'm being ushered up into the innermost chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Closeness demands judgment. That's why we know the tzaddikim are judged much more harsher, because they're in constant connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our challenge is to be able to stand at that moment of judgment, 35 and 36, as Siftei Chaim points out, Rav Chaim Friedlander sets out, and to realize that Hashem is judging us right now in this position of closeness. How can you not be aroused? How can you not feel, Hashem, I want to be the best I can be? This is the moment of judgment. Hashem judges us at the time of blowing of the shofar, the time of Musaf, and our judgment, as we begin with, the Gemara says, is remembered for the good, because when we are brought up to this great height, we recognize and appreciate what reality of life is about and what we want in life. And at that moment, Hashem will judge us for where we're at, Bashir Rusham, for this goodness. But recognize, Hashem, recognize, my friends, that this light of judgment is like you examine a diamond, he says in 38. A very, very profound light, a very strong light. That's how we're being judged for everything we've done this year. Thought, deed. And when we stand by Tkiyah Shofar, when we stand under this immense scrutiny, as the Chasam Sofer and others point out, that the moment of Tkiyah Shofar, at the time of Rosh Hashanah, we're shown two videos. A video of how we acted this year, and a video of how we should have acted in each situation. And the judgment is the disparity between the two. When we come to that realization, we cry out and we say, Hashem, I'm going to be better. I'm working on myself. I want to be able to be in a position of closeness to you. This is why Ein Dani Meta Adam, the bracket in 36, Ela Lifimaisav Shalosa Shah, where you're at right now. Hashem understands that this moment of closeness, we feel such closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the deeper understanding in 39 of Bakesa Liyom Chagenu. Do you know what Bakesa means? It means not just concealed, it means the innermost part. Rosh Hashanah is not a time of Chitzonius, it's not a time of the external world. It's a time of Pinimios, it's a time of the inner world. Bakesa Chag Shel Chag shel I chitzonir, chag shel pnimiyur. Hashofar afu mamid et adam et atiku el hakesa lifnai v'lifnim. The shofar brings us to that kesa, to that innermost point. And as the Chalvan, the Talei Chaim, says so beautifully, he says, you know what happens? Our neshamas go into the Kodesh Kodashim. Unlike the Kohen Gadol, whose body also goes to the Kodesh Kodashim, our neshamas go into the Kodesh Kodashim. And it enters into that world of closeness to Hashem. And in that world, it's a world of remembrance. Hashem remembers all of our deeds. And my friends, he says, if we live on a level of neshama and a hope that we want to live on that level of neshama, so then Hashem is going to judge us in that inner world, the world of neshama. And that neshama is always pure. And then neshama always wants to do God's will. And therefore, we'll be remembered for the good. But if at the moment of Tkiyah Shofar and the moment of Musaf, we're thinking about this one's outfit and this one got a new hat. Oh, look at that cute little kid. And we're involved in the external world and we're not even thinking about our neshamas and we're not thinking about the inner world. So then God will judge us accordingly in our outer world. And our outer world, that's pretty dangerous because then he looks at our actions and he looks at what we've done. Rosh Hashanah, again, Yom Kippur is different. Rosh Hashanah, Hashem looks at our core being. Shofar enables us to connect to our core being. Shofar enables us to go back to that vision of the original day of creation of man, as we point out in 46, that vision of Adam being perfectly connected to God. Mamet Har Sinai was the time in Jewish history where we collectively went back to that time. And every Rosh Hashanah, when we are beamed up, lifnai v'lifnim, when we close our eyes during Tkiyah Shofar and Musaf, and we hear that shofar blast, we go up with the shofar to that place where it's us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. Each and every one of us is lifnai v'lifnim in that inner world being judged. And we are being judged for what extent do we want to return back to that pure element. How much do we want it? Says the Chalvah, even if it's a minor, a murmur, a faint, it's still good. How much do I want to go back and say, this is the core me. Help me. This is who I want to be. And then Hashem judges us accordingly to our neshama, the inner world, which is a world of purity. The shofar itself brings a remembrance for the good, because we're judged for the inner world. And that's why we have the medium, the shofar, because the shofar is the only mitzvah all year that is not really in action. It's just the breath. It's not even word. I don't even articulate or enunciate. It's the breath within me. It's the most innermost part of me. Because that's what's being judged. That's what's being assessed. That's what's on the line here. Who are you? Where are you at? Are you one who has that vision to get back to the perfected Adam, to one whose whole focus is to serve Hashem? That is the question. And I'd like to end, my friends, with a very powerful insight of La'avdecha Be'emes in 49, where he says, at that moment of judgment, at that moment when everything is on the line and we are being judged as an individual, Hashem turns to us and says, for you the world would have been created. Bishvili nivra olam. And since the world is being created for you, like the Aseret HaDibrot are written, as Ramban points out in the singular, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, your God, Hashem turns to each and every one of us and says, for your actions alone, would the world be able to survive? Have you created enough Kvod Shamayim, glory of God, to make the whole world rest on you? If it was only your davening in the world, would your davening be enough? Would your brachos be enough? Would your ben adam l'chaveru, between man and fellow man, be enough? That's the question that we're being asked. So my friends, when I stand there at the Holy of Holies, and the world is really dependent on me, I have to be able to call out in tshuva and say, Hashem, I want that the world could be revolved around me and my Shemone Esrei and my davening and my brachos, and I'm working on it. And this is what I'm doing to work on it. This is my tshuva. This is how I'm moving forward. And when we're able to tap into that reality, when I'm able to understand that I'm standing in front of Hashem, there are no shortcuts, no one to rely on but myself. It's at that moment that Hashem looks down and moves from the seat of judgment to the seat of rachamim. And he says, my little soul, this is what you desire. This is what you want. I'm going to grant you a year to be able to enable you to be successful in this mission, of being able to bridge that gap of the perfected self and who you are now, the Avram Avram, the one of below and the one of above to meet. And therefore, my friends, what we've tried to see today, what is Rosh Hashanah about? It's about connecting to the core. It's about being able to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu lifnai v'lifnim the entire day at Temnitz Avim Hayom, particularly by Shofar. Shofar brings our words up. Shofar brings us up. It's a day of light, a day of clarity, a day of being our judge with that powerful light. And it's also a day of Bekesa, that v'ani b'tumi elech, I'm following you, Hashem, no matter what. It's a day that we enter into the kesed, the pnimius of who we are. It's a day connected to Mamad Har Sinai in the deepest sense. I want to get back to that nasa v'nishma part of me. I want to get back to v'ani b'tumi elech, I'm ready like the Akedah to follow you unquestionably, Hashem. I want my whole life to be able to serve you, even in the times of the greatest darkness. It's about atare saladat. I want to be able to feel like I've come back to see that clarity of God creating the world. And when we reach this level, then we're able to remind ourselves how we have to bring our Shem into our lives, and our remembrance are therefore brought up to the good. And when I want to live this life of Neshama, this life of pure spiritual quality, then Hashem moves from the seat of judgment to the seat of mercy. And may we all be judged for the entire Klal Yisrael, as we daven for all of them, as we stand individually in front of God. We have the collective in mind that we should all be judged and benched with the zichronos, with the shefa, with the blessing of a year of tremendous bracha, a year of tremendous health, parnasa, shefa, beruchnius, begashmius, and that we should be able to live a life of Hashem be'or panecha ya'alechu, of walking in the light of God.